What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go on a football Friday. Be like one of the last foot Fridays of the season. Big story tonight. We're going to talk football today. We're going to talk every. In fact, we're going to talk nachos today. We have a lot to get to today. But the big story, all eyes are on Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat. We have to see what transpires. There was a really good article from Ramona Shelburne of ESPN today about how the Heat and Jimmy Butler got here and what's going to happen moving forward. And tonight is going to be interesting because I don't think we have much clarity on what's going to happen tonight. My guess is Jimmy Butler is going to be in the starting lineup and we'll see what transpires from there. Like I said, we talked about it yesterday, you know, he's a wild card and Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra, I don't think are your typical front office coach duo. First of all, a lot of times front office and the coach aren't as intertwined as Spo and Riley are. And they are. These guys have had each other's back for the longest. So tonight is going to be really interesting. I think all eyes will be on the Miami Heat. I think the eyes of the league will be on the Miami Heat and the Kaseya Center, and it's going to be interesting to say the least. But like we were saying yesterday, honestly, Jimmy's such a wild card that I think everything's on the table. Everything. He sits on the bench, doesn't get in. He comes off the bench. He starts and stands in a corner. He starts and is the point guard and scores 30. Puts up a double-double. I really think everything's on the table tonight. I don't think that there's a real vibe outside those who might know Jimmy and Spo. I don't think there's a real vibe. I think everyone's guessing. But it could be something as simple as, yeah, the starting lineup is back out there. Jimmy's back out there. And he plays his normal, typical game. And after the game, when he's asked for a comment, he's like, yeah, I was suspended. Now I'm not suspended. I'm activated. And I'm out here and I'm doing my thing. Obviously, the relationship between Jimmy and the Heat is coming to an end. When it ends is obviously what we're keeping an eye on. But tonight, Jimmy's eligible to play, and we will see what happens. There's no real vibe, Solana, right? There's guesses, but there's no real way of knowing what is going to happen with Jimmy tonight.
Yeah, no shoot around today, so you didn't get to hear anybody speak. You didn't get to hear Spo speak. We'll find out. Spo speaks at 6:15 today, and then I guess by then we'll have a decent idea of whether he's going to play, whether he's not. But yeah, I'm with you. Like, we're guessing at this point. Nobody really knows what's going to end up happening.
And I don't even know if Jimmy has a plan either. I don't know if, you know, at 5 minutes after 2 o'clock here on Friday, if Jimmy is saying to himself, hey, here's what I'm doing tonight. He may be, you know, go with the flow guy. If he feels like, if his mood has him in the mood to play, he plays hard. If he's just so over this organization and his teammates and like, and he just goes out there and dogs it again, I don't know. I don't know if he has an actual plan. And I don't know, by the way, because there is the other leg of the teammates. Are the teammates interested in keeping him integrated in the offense? Are they? I don't know. We talked about it yesterday. Like, if you're Bam and you're Tyler and he's making it now very clear publicly, those guys aren't enough for me to win. I mean, you feel like bending over backwards to make sure he gets his touches? So it's going to be interesting tonight, to say the least. There's a lot of interpersonal relationships and dynamics that'll play out on the court tonight.
I do think he has a plan, though, Hawk. Maybe not to the T of exactly what he's going to say, what he's going to do. But I don't think Jimmy Butler woke up this morning saying, huh, how am I going to play this today? Like, I don't think it's that calculated. I think we learned in that Ramona Shelburne article this morning on ESPN that he's pissed. Like, he's pissed off at Pat Riley. And we, not that we didn't know that, but I think, you know, it's more confirmed now that people from Jimmy's side are saying, you haven't seen anything yet. Like, I think he knows exactly how he wants to play this already. And who knows how the meeting with Arison went yesterday, and maybe cooler heads prevailed. You hope. But this dude wants out, and it looks like he's really trying to test the Heat. Really trying to test the Heat.
He is not on the injury report. So the thought of, hey, he's activated, but now there's a conditioning period, like that happened when he was sick. He's not on the injury report. I'm watching ESPN right now. Tim Bontemps is there at the arena. Like, this is it's an 8 o'clock start tonight, too.
Yeah.
But this is one of those games that'll have national eyeballs on it, you know, just to see how this plays out. My guess is, when we talk about him not having planned it out, my guess is he wakes up, today is a game day. He knows how he prepares on game day. And so he probably in his head is, you know, I'm getting ready for a game night. I've done this for my entire life. This is no, you know, that's what I would imagine him saying pre or post game. Today feel any different? No. Game night. Done this thousands of times. Got ready to play tonight. Now, again, we'll see tonight. Who knows? He touches the ball the first time. Does he fly towards the basket? Look to get a foul? Look to be super active? Does he immediately give it up? And I do think there is this possibility of teammates not doing the freeze out the way the All-Star team did Isaiah Thomas when Michael Jordan, you know, made sure that Isaiah Thomas was literally frozen out of the offense. But there could be, again, what's the incentive for Tyler or Bam to try to get Jimmy going if you feel like you had the rug pulled out from under you with this guy?
It's the thing but a lot of people weren't talking about with the Jimmy Butler situation. And it's why I asked Mansell yesterday. You're telling me Tyler Hero and Bam aren't saying, what the hell, man? And Hawk, it's not that it's gotten to a point where these statements are being released publicly that Jimmy doesn't feel they're good enough to win a title. Like, fine, you want to go play with somebody else, fine. But you're literally not trying on the court. And then you're going to blame your role when everybody knows that there's a situation going on behind the scenes and they're actively giving you the ball so that you can go be aggressive and not feel like you're not being utilized properly. And by the way, the idea that you, as a coach, right, are limiting somebody's role who can't shoot by forcing them to stand in the corner makes no sense. You don't put non-shooters in the corner. If he's in the corner tonight, Hawk, It's not because his role is dictating where he needs to be on the floor. It's because he wants to be in that corner.
Also, there is the, you know, again, right, Eric Spoelstra knows that Bam and Tyler are the futures of the franchise, at least the way that it's playing out now. And part of Ramona Shelburne's article was about that was a conscious decision that it's Bam's team, not Jimmy's. And Jimmy was like, oh, okay. Like that was the beginning of the cavalcade. It's possible that Spo says to Bam and Tyler privately, you guys get yours tonight. And maybe Spo makes an example of Jimmy in front of those guys to say, maybe he has Jimmy coming off the bench. Maybe the starting lineup comes out and Jimmy is not starting. And that's Spo nodding to Bam and Tyler. We know who wants to be here, and we know who the spine of this franchise is.
You really want to send a message to Jimmy, keep starting Terry Rozier over him, because Jimmy Butler taking one-legged threes in the corner with his eyes closed might be more effective than Terry Rozier over the past 2 months.
He's been really bad.
Bro, but Hawk, look, I get it, man. Jimmy Butler feels like he should have been the head of the organization or the next culture bearer, I guess. Like, I get that. But when you think about, and again, I'm just alluding to what Ramona Shelburne wrote, that I guess Jimmy Butler, it was made apparent to him when Riley called Bam into the office and essentially passed the torch, the culture-bearing torch, over to Bam Adebayo. Bam is 26 years old, 27 years old.
You're gonna try to make this like, oh, he should know. Like, no.
Tyler Hero is 24 years old.
When you're Jimmy Butler, this is the same argument that they thought they had with Dwayne Wade. Hey, you have to understand Hassan Whiteside. He's on the come up right now. You've been here for years. Like, that doesn't work with these personalities. You're fooling yourself. I know what you're saying. You're fooling yourself if you think Jimmy Butler would have the wherewithal to say, you know, it should be Bam's team.
It's not about it being Bam's team. UD was the representative of culture for decades in Miami.
Yeah, but Jimmy doesn't care about the representative of culture.
Hold on.
He cares about who is the on-court leader. And they made it very clear to him, this is Bam's team. We all talked about it coming into the season. That didn't sit well with Jimmy.
No, we didn't feel like it was Bam's team from a leadership standpoint. We were saying it's Bam's team because Jimmy Butler can't stay on the floor and isn't playing games. Which is why Pat Riley is saying, hey, the person who's going to represent our culture, the thing that we pride ourselves most on, has to be somebody who is living it, who is the embodiment of it.
But Jimmy Butler believes he is living it and is the embodiment of it. We can argue all we want that no, he's not. And he will argue till his death, I give you every ounce I have when I'm able to be out on that court. And don't ever doubt if I'm not out on that court that I could be out on that court. I'm just telling you what he's thinking. We can agree that doesn't seem that way to us, but Jimmy would say, that's BS. It's my team. I came here to take over Dwayne Wade's spot. They wrote in the column, Ramona Shelburne, Dwayne Wade died so Jimmy Butler could live. And there's some truth to that, where the Wade era ends so that the Jimmy Butler era can begin.
Right, and you know how Jimmy Butler was able to fly in Miami or walk or whatever was when the Heat, after Jimmy Butler got swept and got outscored by a guy who's not even in the league anymore by Milwaukee, signed him to a 3-year, $146 million extension. They did right by him, and they proved at that very moment, you were the face of this organization. You are the player we are building around, and they stayed true to that. Naming Bam captain doesn't take away from the fact that everybody around that organization knew that the best player and the leader on the floor, when he's on the floor, was Jimmy Butler. So why is he struggling to understand that? And it goes back to what we talked about
because
2 weeks
ago.
Because
you can't say everybody knew that if the guy himself didn't know it.
So Mr. Butler, who is tapping a barista on the back saying, we uplift our guys here. Jimmy Butler, the most competitive mother effer we've ever seen, who doesn't give out compliments to his own teammates, tough love guy, is now all of a sudden needing to be paraded around the organization as, look at our leader.
But what you're doing here.
Come on.
What are we doing? Now right, because now we're arguing something because we know Jimmy's not long for the Heat. So now we're taking all this stuff and saying, hey, but that's what you loved about him. That's what you loved about him. And that's what his point is. Hey, you loved me for all these reasons that all of a sudden don't work anymore in Heat culture. I am my own man. I do march to my own drum. I'm everything you went out and got. And yeah, I would submit to you again, while it may be clear to all of us that making Bam captain and it being Bam's team is not a knock on Jimmy. Jimmy still needs to set the tone and lead the way. If Jimmy didn't understand that, then not everybody understood it. And in fact, the most important person who needed to understand it didn't get it. Now, again, Pat Riley may have thought Jimmy was cut from a different cloth, that he would take the postseason press conference and take it the way that Riley meant it. He maybe thought giving Bam the captaincy and having a meeting with Bam would be something that Jimmy would. But it had the opposite effect. All that stuff had the opposite effect. I'm not telling you that I'm on Jimmy's side. I'm just telling you all that stuff had the opposite effect. Anyway.
Pat could have cursed him out.
Today.
Pat could have cursed him out. He could have told him to shut his mouth a million times. If he would have signed that check, or Mickey Arison signs that check, the extension
sure.
Jimmy wants, then Jimmy Butler
spoke louder,
doesn't care.
That spoke louder than what Pat Riley said. Like,
right.
This is about money.
Yeah.
This is about money. You're willing to put up with slights if the money's right. But now I'm putting up with slights and you're not giving me the money I want. What do you think of me? Not much.
Yeah.
Well, I'll show you what I think about people who don't think much of me. What it is.
Yeah.
Like Jimmy wanted one of those things. Either give me all the audible praises that you can or give me the money. But don't take both those things away from me and expect that I'm coming in like Superman. And that's where we're at. Anyway, we're going to keep an eye on it tonight. We'll talk about it. Gino Toretta will join us today. Usually joins us on Thursdays. He's going to join us today this hour. Lee Sterling's got some winners for us. 4 NFL playoff games this weekend. Lee Sterling will join us with those. Ryan Sense, the founder of Funky Buddha Brewery, is going to talk nachos with us. Why are nachos not on the menu? He is going to tell us why. And if we can rectify that situation, maybe that situation has spiraled out of control. Then we can't even fix that. Maybe we can't sign the nachos to a max deal at Funky Buddha. Maybe it's a sign and trade to Flanny's. Who knows?
If you could only have one hawk, Jimmy Butler staying in Miami, two sides coming to an agreement, they find middle ground, or nachos at Funky Buddha. Which one are you choosing?
Nachos, a million times over.
Yeah, good choice.
In fact, today on our text thread, Solana, I thought this was such a great showcase of how he and I think and maybe think differently. I had just sent a story from McDonald's. They had toasted ravioli on one of their regional menus in 1991. I thought that was very important.
Mm-hmm.
Solana followed it up with the Ramona Shelbourne article.
Yeah.
I still believe McDonald's having toasted ravioli in 1991 is a bigger story than the Jimmy Butler story.
But what does that mean, toasted ravioli? So it was almost like a crouton?
No. Toasted ravioli is almost like a square cheese stick. They have those, you know, they get at fancier restaurants, they get cutesy. They call it toasted ravioli because it's almost like a, it's a deep fried ravioli. So it's got some noodle in it, but cheese as well. And it's served with marinara sauce. It's a square cheese stick. It's a square mozzarella stick, but they get cutesy.
Yeah.
They call it toasted ravioli.
I've never seen that. The only ravioli I know is, because the ravioli, they can get cutesy when they serve actual ravioli with the big ravioli. They give you four of them.
They give you two. Mm-hmm. Two giant ravioli.
Yeah, I don't like that. But toasted ravioli.
Yeah, toasted ravioli happens to be pretty good.
So it's like chicken nuggets, but in ravioli form.
Quick look at headlines here, because Gino Toretta is going to join us next. Quick look at headlines with Solana, brought to you by Doral Hyundai. At Doral Hyundai, choose from over 1,300 new Hyundai models in inventory, like the Tucson, Sonata, and Palisade. Remember, when it comes to Hyundai, the great deals are at Doral Hyundai.
So tonight's game is at 8 p.m. The Heat will be wearing their original white Vice jerseys, and the Vice court is back as well.
Mm.
For anybody going to the stadium, there's also a game Sunday. Heat host the Spurs. That means Wemby will be in town. That'll be a 3 p.m. game tonight, 8 p.m. tip-off. The Cats lost to the Red Wings 5-2 yesterday.
Ugly.
Bob was pulled. He gave up 4 goals on 15 shots.
He was bad.
Yeah. Yeah. They host the Ducks tomorrow to end a 2-game homestand at 6 p.m. Then they go out to California to play the Ducks on the road. Dolphins will host the first ever NFL game in Madrid next season. The game will be played at the Santiago Bernabeu, Real Madrid's home stadium.
Very cool. That's a home game?
I think so, because they're the host. We don't even know who they're playing
yet.
So,
and they haven't announced the opponent. Right, so it's got to be their game. Yet.
Yeah, but we do know the list of opponents that Miami has next season, and we can kind of
I saw a lot of people surmising it's going to be Cincinnati.
By a lot of people, did you see the same toot I saw, which was Chris Cody?
You call it a toot?
Hmm.
You say same toot I saw?
Same toot? No, same tweet. Same tweet.
You sure you didn't say toot?
Did I say toot, Steven? I don't think I said toot. I said tweet. I said tweet.
Kind of felt like I heard toot.
I said tweet. Come on. You're reaching already this early into the show? Come on.
I kind of felt like I heard toot. I would like to go back and listen to it.
Okay.
I'm going to throw the flag.
I'll check it out. Yeah, you might be like McDaniel with the flag. Whatever, man. I can't find the Dolphins home team, but we'll find out eventually who they're going to end up playing. And then NFL playoff schedule starts Saturday, tomorrow. Chiefs, Texans at 4:30. Lions, Commanders is the late game tomorrow at 8. Sunday, Eagles, Rams at 3. Bills, Ravens at 6:30 p.m., we could run through the lines later if you'd like, Hawk. I'm sure we will.
You know I will. Yeah. Well, Lee Sterling's going to pick some winners for us.
Yeah. All right. Your weather? I'm the Demesman and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7 right now in South Florida. Partly cloudy tonight. The lows are going to drop into the mid to low 60s, and it's been pouring rain, man. Traffic was a nightmare for me getting here. It's just been pouring all day. That's your weather.
A lot of people texting in, by the way. Bam can't be the number one and the captain because he's disappeared. And it's hard to argue that.
No.
I mean, he has not taken the reins of this team on the court the way that he had the ability to season.
It's unfair for people to look at Bam on one side of the floor and say, he's disappeared, he's not worth the money. When Bam Adebayo, and I'm not saying he hasn't regressed in a major way this year.
He's regressed, that's all I'm saying.
On offense. On offense, he's regressed.
Rudy Gobert. Yeah, we watch Rudy Gobert, and we don't go, oh, but he doesn't do it on the offensive side. Like, people are able to look and go, wow, great defensive player. But this is one of the poorer seasons he's had.
Oh, for sure. But
that's what I'm saying. Like, if you give me the keys for this season, you're the guy. Go out and do it, and you put up this season.
But he's the guy because of everything he does not on the offensive end. And that's why he is the culture bearer.
Well, no, but he's never drafted. Had an offensive. His offensive numbers have to be so way down.
Look at who preceded him. Udonis Haslem. Drafted here. Nobody believed in him. Undrafted, actually. But was brought through the Miami Heat system after leaving France. Nobody believed in him, went through the Heat's development program, ended up starting in the 2006 NBA Finals.
Udonis and Bam.
They have a similar path in terms of Bam might have been drafted in the first round pick, But nobody believed in him. And everybody thought Bam was limited to one thing.
Who didn't believe in him? They drafted him in the first round. What are you talking about?
But it was seen as a huge, huge jump for Bam Adebayo to be taken that early. And the Heat got crushed for taking Bam at 14.
Stop. I mean, come on. What are you doing?
Hawk. You're going to tell me I'm wrong? Go look at draft grades from that year. The way the people thought the Heat took him way too early. He was trending to be a mid to late first round pick.
First round pick!
The point is, somebody brought up through the Heat system, and now they want him to feel the responsibility of that and be able to,
right, but
to
also
push the culture
forward.
You
need to lead
forward.
Your team on the court.
And he does, like, he does lead the team. He's great on the defensive end.
You just said he regressed. He's having a down season.
On the offensive end, he's regressed.
He's having a down season,
but
yes or no?
But Hawk.
I'm not asking you whether he's good defensively. I'm asking you if he's having a down season.
But you have to look at it with context.
No, I don't have to look at it with – I have to look at it as a total basketball player. Is he having the season that he had last season?
He's regressed on the offensive end. There's no doubt about it.
He's regressed.
On the offensive end.
He's not having a great season.
When the Heat
– offense counts.
When the Heat are playing at their best – their net rating is the highest is when Bam Adebayo's on the floor.
Hey, I mean,
his
you
impact,
literally.
His impact.
So you've been given permission to now you can say bad stats about Jimmy, but you can no longer say bad stats about Bam?
I'm not giving bad stats about Jimmy Butler. I'm upset at the fact that a guy quit on his team and is handling the situation the way he wants to handle it. I'm not giving bad stats about Jimmy Butler. It's not my fault his coffee shop's not open.
Bad stats about Jimmy Butler, but you are like so afraid to say that Bam regressed this season.
I'm not afraid.
9-4.
I'm not afraid.
He's not having a great season. He was an all-star. He's not having an all-star season.
He's not an all-star season.
I'm not afraid to say that Bam Adebayo offensively has taken a major step back this year.
Why do you keep giving that caveat? I'm just talking about him as the entirety of his basketball performance this season. Why are you excluding the offensive portion?
I don't want to exclude the offensive portion, but when you look at
but that's what you're
because the way you got to hey, let's talk about Bam's regression is somebody saying Bam sucks, look at the way he's playing this year, he doesn't deserve to be the face of the organization, and A, he does deserve to be the face of the organization, and B, you can't take one season where he's having off shooting numbers and say, this guy stinks. He's not deserving of the contract he's getting, and he's not deserving of the accolades he's been given.
You did that with
Tula
with no problem.
Oh, it's funny.
Solana.
At least Bam's on the floor. Bam, come on, what are we doing?
Solana, Bam can't be the face of an organization.
But he's the face of
the
Heat
Tatums,
culture.
The Jokic, the Giannis.
It doesn't mean that he's the best player in your
Bam
team.
Bam is not – he's – no, he can't.
But those guys are as Crowder saying, those guys are perennial all-stars. It's not a question if you're going to get a down season, an up season. Like that. Like he had a chance. I thought, we all thought this season he had a chance to be Mr. Heat. He's had a down season. That's all I'm saying. Doesn't mean I don't love Bam. Doesn't mean I don't want him part of my team. I don't think he's a waste of money. I love Bam. But he's having a down season. That's all I'm saying. You can't
Rudy
argue
Gobert,
that.
Rudy Gobert can't be the face of an organization.
100%
And he's a great player.
But I think you guys are conflating what it means to be the culture bearer.
Well, but culture bearer
culture
is this
bearer.
Really nebulous
the fuck
thing.
Here.
But, it, like, but that's what it is. Bearer. Pat Riley didn't bring Bam culture into his office bearer. And say, hey, you know, as part of culture bearer, you have to be a perennial all-star player and you have to be 20-20 guy, and you have to put up Jokic numbers.
But generally,
that wasn't the question.
Who's going to sign you to bear the culture?
Udonis was the aberration there, being a culture bearer while not being an on-court performer. That's an aberration. That doesn't happen very often. So for Bam, I'm just saying, like, this was a chance for him to kind of flex and be a one, where you say, wow, that guy's doing everything,
but
and he's been here since the jump.
We know he's not a one. Like, no, nobody's arguing that. They're
understood.
Building.
That's the text I read you, that he can't be that guy. And you're arguing it.
Bam is a building block. He can be the face of the organization while understanding that you need a true one around Bam Adebayo, which is what Jimmy Butler was supposed to be and was in the playoffs.
And has been, and that's why Jimmy's angry, by the way, because Jimmy's looking at Bam and going, this guy's your one, I'm not?
Culture bearers can't be the face of an organization.
Okay.
Nobody knows you. Listen, nobody knows UD if it wasn't for Dwayne Wade. No one knows Udonis Haslam's name if it wasn't for Dwayne Wade.
No, of course. Like, but you could do that with a lot of guys. Guys who were
No, and that's what I'm saying. Bam is closer to Udonis than he is to Wade.
Oh. I don't know about that.
Solana, you think somebody's watching basketball saying, oh, man, you know, this guy can guard, you know, five to two.
Hold on a second. Hold on a second. I know we have to break, Hawk, but hold on a second. You're saying that a three-time All-Star in Bam Adebayo, who's been on two Olympic teams, is closer to Udonis Haslam, who never made, and this is not an indictment on UD, but was a role player outside of 3 years in his NBA career, who never made an All-Star team and was never on an Olympic team? Is that what you're saying? Come on, man. What are we doing here?
Well, I think he's wrong there, but you're wrong in not acknowledging that Bam's having a down season.
I am acknowledging. He's had a bad year on the offensive end, 100%.
Right, so that's what I'm saying. You keep throwing in that caveat on the offensive end
because I think, for whatever reason,
you're afraid to say he's having a down year.
I'm not afraid to say anything. I know Bam has regressed on the offensive end. There's no doubt about it, but he's still a top defender in the league, and the Heat are at their best when Bam's on the floor offensively.
But even if his
actual scoring numbers and field goal percentages are down, go look at the metrics when Bam isn't on the floor. Our offense and our defense takes a huge hit.
No one's arguing against Bam. I'm just saying he had a chance to run with the keys to the franchise this season, and in my opinion, hasn't done so. And I think that would probably be the prevailing opinion.
He's just not built like that.
Right. I don't think he's got those skills. Like and it's no knock against him. He's great at what he is. Like, great. He's an all-star, and I think he'll be an all-star again one day. Not going to happen this season. But he's not, you know, Tatum, as you mentioned. Like,
Tatum,
he's not Jason Tatum.
Jokic, those
not
type
Dwayne
guys,
Wade.
The face of organization.
Not LeBron.
He's like, not. He's but not, but he's, I think, and I know you're saying it's something I guess specific to the Heat, and that's fine. And we get carried away with the whole culture thing, but when we're talking about Bam Adebayo kind of taking the torch from UD, we're not talking about he's the face of the organization from the standpoint of he is the best player on this team. We're talking about he is the one who's going to continue to uphold what the Heat pride themselves most on, which is Heat culture. And you can laugh at it and say it's a bunch of BS and whatever, whatever. But the reality is in that building, they think it, they believe it, and they want that to continue.
And I love it too when they're winning. It sounds sillier when they're not.
Correct.
That's the reality of all that stuff.
Correct. But when it comes to Bam, that's what they're – that's why Pat Riley had to sit down with him, because
in addition to winning,
I'm with you.
He has to win too. We got to take a break because Gino Toretta is going to come up. We got to take a break.
The Lakers weren't scared of the culture when they were whooping our butts.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's cute when you're winning. It's something great to rally around.
Whipping
but when you're
butts.
Not winning, and we talk about, oh, the culture, and this is so important, and it is important, but it doesn't matter. It's all the Stephen Ross stuff, you know, that he was doing at the beginning when he first took over and was like, yeah, this is all cute. Win. You got to win. All that stuff is cute until you stop winning.
What about the Patriot way when Brady left?
That's right.
You don't even hear Patriot
All you heard
way
about
anymore.
Was the Patriot way. I dare anyone to talk about the Patriot way.
Can't compare.
That's what it is.
You can't compare what the Heat have done. You cannot compare what the Heat have done over the past 5 years to Bill Belichick losing Tom Brady, missing the postseason, and absolutely being a laughingstock having to go to college. Come on.
Wade was Tom Brady. Then LeBron became Tom Brady. Then Jimmy snuck up and he was Matt Castle. He wasn't really a Wade or LeBron.
Okay.
And then you don't have a star, and then like that.
But in other words, the Patriot way for 20 years when you're winning, the Patriot way sounds great, and no one can replicate it. Heat DNA and Heat culture sounds great when you're constantly in the Eastern Conference Finals and the NBA Championship or whatever. But when there's a tail off, that stuff sounds silly.
Yeah,
and that's the point that they're afraid. And listen. And Pat Riley will get it corrected because he does. But that stuff sounds hollow. All right, We got to take a break because Gino Toretta is going to join us.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show. Hawk and Crowder.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Gino Toretta is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Gino Toretta, the Heisman Trophy winner, usually joins us on Thursdays, was unable to yesterday. Joining us today, he's the ambassador for Evening's Delight, South Florida's source for all your outdoor kitchen, grilling, and tailgate needs. They got a full line of grills, smokers, and more. Evening's Delight, two locations, Pinecrest and Davie. Gino, let's talk national championship game before we talk anything else, because we haven't talked to you. It's Ohio State and Notre Dame. By the way, for us Hurricanes, this is one of those classic there are no winners games because we hate Notre Dame and Ohio State equally. Who do you see winning the game, though, Gino?
I think Ohio State rolls and rolls big. I think, Solana, he gave me grief. He said he forgot where he heard it, that I said Drew Aller's a good quarterback who had the worst game of his career against Notre Dame in the Orange Bowl. So I thank him for not mentioning my name, but I will fess up. When he had the worst game I've seen him play, all he needed to do was play average, and Penn State is in the national championship game. And I would say because of that, Ohio State's talent is even better than Penn State's, and they're not going to give it up. They're going to roll in the game.
But Gino, and then we were talking to Danny Cannell yesterday, and he was saying, you know, with betting wise, like take the under. Is that going to be a lot of points scored in this game? I know Ohio State has crazy weapons, you know, and Notre Dame can. I don't think their offense is that damn great, but like, do you think it'll be a lot of points scored, or this be one of them old school games I love with the 17-13?
Well, Notre Dame's offense is averaging 340 yards a game in the playoffs, which is awful. I mean, that's outside probably the top 100 during the regular season. So rather pedestrian, and they've won off the defense, creating turnovers, blitzing, blitz zones, and a special teams touchdown a couple weeks ago. So I would say on the Notre Dame side, yeah, probably the under. Ohio State has all those talented players on offense. Is Notre Dame going to be able to shut them down? You know, I think if you look at Texas, they shut down the best wide receiver in the country in Jeremiah Smith, and they still couldn't win. I mean, Tate had 7 catches, and Egbuka, the other guy on the other side, he had 5. So, you know, Ohio State's frontline offense, every one of their skill guys is going to start in the NFL. Everyone. And you can't say that on the other side of the ball. And I think that the secondary for Notre Dame is young. My guess is Golden would try to blitz zone some, because if he blitzes as much as he likes to do and play man coverage, I don't care. I don't see any players on the secondary Notre Dame being able to stop one-on-one any one of those three guys on the outside.
Yeah, I want to see points. I don't want to see a defensive battle. Those are the most boring games. I like seeing Toretta zing it around. Let me ask you something, Gino. We haven't talked to you about pro football in a minute. We watched Sam Darnold. He leads the team to 14 wins in a season. He puts up 2 stinkers in the most meaningful games. There was the season closing game against the Lions, and then Monday the wild card game against LA. Is Sam Darnold, like, should a team in the NFL give Sam Darnold a bunch of money to be their starting quarterback next season?
Well, I would say this. Middle of the pack as a quarterback of the National Football League starter is a bunch of money.
True.
So I think, one,
right,
you have to clarify what bunch of money is. I mean, wouldn't you say his minimum is probably $35, $40 million a year? I mean, just based on what other guys are signing for. The guy won 14 games. He's physically talented. I will say this. He ran into one of the top two defenses in the league the last 2 games of the year. Like, it's almost always like, okay, you blame the quarterback. Well, he had a stinker game. How about blaming the other team's defense, that they're pretty damn good, and that's why that team won the division and is, you know, one of the tops to make it to the Super Bowl. So I would say, yes, he's going to get a boatload of money regardless. You know, will he get I would say he's got to get top 15 money. I don't think there's any doubt in that.
And, Gino, another quarterback who played back, you know, in your time, Troy Aikman, kind of came out and said that Dallas Cowboy head coaching job isn't really as coveted as people say it is. Is it a good job? Because I call Jerry Jones a helicopter dad with his team, where he's just going to be a part of everything. Is it a coveted job to be the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, knowing how Jerry is?
Well, I would say, is Len Wiener in your office right now, sitting behind you as you broadcast the game and tell you every time you slip up and you mess up in one of your sayings or one of your segments of you should have done this differently or that? He is not. And I think that's what Dallas Cowboys, you know, that's what Troy is trying to say, is you have an owner that is constantly in, around, like you said, helicopter dad, is going to meddle in it. It's almost chanting like when the head coach is a former position coach, the position coach under that head coach's life is miserable because nothing he does is as good as what the head coach did in his time or would do. So I would say for that reason, it would not be a coveted job.
That's why I can't see Dion doing it. As much as they apparently love each other, like, don't you think that would end in absolute unmitigated disaster?
I would just say this. I don't care who they're talking about, $15 million a year or $20 million a year could make it a coveted position.
Right, and I'll give it my best.
I just talked to somebody yesterday. I said I would fight an alligator and a great white at the same time for $20 million. Come on, man.
Right. Hey, Kenny, and that's just not for 1 year. That's a guaranteed 5. You know somebody's going to get a guaranteed $100 million.
You're right.
Okay, I'll come in
right.
If it goes south in 20 games. I mean, look at, heck, one of my old teammates, Chud signed a 3-year deal to be the head coach of the Browns. That lasted 350 days, and it was half of that yearly number. So I think you could make a pretty good lifestyle after that.
Yeah, I want that gig, man. I've been looking for one of those gigs where I get paid out on something I'm not doing.
Somebody asked me, why isn't Charlie Strong coaching? I said, because Texas owes him $80 million. Why would you coach?
Yeah, where is Jimbo Fisher? He's off the Gulf in the deep sea fishing for tuna. Yeah. He's making $9 a year on January 1 for 8 years.
Hey, Gino, the Ravens-Bills game Sunday night. This one is almost like the big game itself. Who do you got there? It's Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen. They're probably the two quarterbacks who are up for MVP. And Baltimore, believe it or not, is a favorite in Buffalo. Who do you like in that game?
You know what? I love both those teams. They've been fun to watch. I mean, just as an outside fan, Josh has had a great year. I don't know. Who would I root? I'm going to root for Lamar and Henry just because they're two Heisman guys. So, and they're exciting to watch.
Do you think they could be like, we've talked about it. Like, someone's got to dethrone Kansas City in the AFC. And maybe it's Buffalo, but maybe it is Baltimore based on the way they looked last week and the way they gelled at the end of the season. Like, could they be the cream of the crop in the AFC?
Well, at some point, don't you learn? You know what I mean? It's like Baltimore's gotten there, and then they've kind of had some stinker games late in the playoffs the last couple of years where you're like, really? That was the game plan they put together for this championship? So I think Baltimore, it's kind of like their time. Now, can they get through Kansas City when they play them? Then we'll see about that. But I like Baltimore, too, on the road.
And KC is going to play one of those two. I don't, Houston has a good team, but I just don't see a second-year head coach, second-year quarterback beating Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. What about the NFC? Do you know any chance Washington, any chance the Rams can knock off the 1-2 seed, or we're gonna see Eagles, Lions in the NFC Championship?
I think, Jaden is very talented. I mean, could they, catch lightning in a bottle in that week? Sure. I mean, I think that Stafford as well, the Rams seem like they're healthier than they've been, all season long. And, they could catch it similar to Green Bay when Rodgers won his title there. They were 8-8 or whatever when they made the playoffs and got everybody back, got healthy. And he's already done it before. The head coach has done it before. I mean, out of those two, I'd pick the Rams being able to do it more so than the Redskins or the Commanders, whatever you want to call them now, with Daniels in a rookie year.
I wish you would have told me that about the Rams before I put the house on Minnesota.
Well, it was because of Crowder. I thought Minnesota was a fraud, and Crowder talked me into it.
They got their butt whooped the week before. They're going to bounce back. They're a good team. Kevin O'Connell got my man playing. Yeah, man, I lost a bunch of money. I'm putting 18 parlays now for $8. Yeah, I'm bad off right now on this app.
You know what? They send you a thank you, I'm sure, always, because I think teasers and parlays are for suckers.
Suckers, and it's all I play.
I would say this, Hawk. You were distracting me with your nonsense about nachos, because Kenny and I are not nacho guys. It's inconsistency with chips. There's too many ingredients on the top. Sometimes you get a crunchy one. Sometimes you get a just soggy, nasty chip. So just move on from chips.
First of all, I don't think Crowder's not a nacho guy. I think he's just arguing
like nachos.
It's
appetizer roulette. Like Gino's point, appetizer roulette.
That's the worst take I've ever heard, Gino, is that sports bars don't need nachos on the menu. Didn't you text us that no one orders nachos? It's a ridiculous take.
No one does. Like when I go to a bar, like Flanagan's, it gives you a free pitcher of beer, with whatever.
They're known for nachos. Their nachos are the size of the Eiffel Tower.
I would order wings 1,000 times before I'd order a tray of nachos. Because you know what? And it becomes messy. What if you were touching my nacho and you got your funk on my nacho?
That, you know what? Build
up your immune system, Fauci.
I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. The other thing we have to discuss. You brought up the toasted raviolis at McDonald's, and
yes.
I thought, I was like, what's the best fast food item that I think I've had that they've taken off menus? And Hawk, I guarantee you remember this. Do you remember the toasted waffle sticks that had like heated syrup in each little of the Belgian?
Yep.
Where are those at? Why did they take them off the menu? I don't know if that was BK or if that was.
I think they were BK.
That was like the best breakfast item anybody had, and they don't make them anymore.
Well, I'm not going to agree with you on any food takes today because of your nacho stand. So I think it's thrilling that they took that off the menu. Because I refuse to ally myself with you on any food take with the nacho slander. Hey, real quick. So
you
Gino joins us every week, courtesy of Evening's Delight.
Hey.
Real quick, because we're so out of time. Are we going to put together something maybe the Saturday before the big game at Evening's Delight where you're going to grill and you can show everyone how good you are on the grill?
We'll do something before the big game on Saturday. We'll cook some wings. I'll get some spiced olives from our guys at Funky Buddha. maybe stuff some blue cheese in them, make them even spicier. And that'll
nobody
be
likes
after,
olives. How about that? Nobody likes olives.
That'll be after my dry January has ended. So maybe a couple cold ones as well.
Dry January.
That's why you can't trust any of his takes. I mean, the guy's on a dry January. Of course, he doesn't January. Like nachos. His head's not right.
Hey, do you guys read the newspaper? Like all the news about how bad alcohol is for you now, it causes cancer. All that crap they told us for years. Like one or two drinks a night was healthy for you. Now it's zero alcohol is good for you. So like read some of the new literature that's out there.
We're all hammered right now. We can't read a thing.
Hey, you are if you're ordering nachos and that's the best item you got.
Oh,
to come up
God.
With.
I mean, you might as well punctuate it with the worst take in the history of radio.
Hey,
see
Gino.
You, Gino. We got to go.
I was born of Randy Crowder, who was playing football in Miami in the 70s. I came out okay. I'm doing all the drugs.
There was no dry January at Randy Crowder's house. I can tell you that right now.
I was born drunk. Come
that's
on.
That's because the season was over by January. Back in the day, the Super Bowl was the end of January.
That's true. We'll see you, Gino.
See you guys.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show. Crowder.